and welcome to our midweek service here at Grace Family Church in Jasper. We welcome you this evening. Praise God. We're so glad that you have tuned in. I say this, and I'm going to keep saying it, because it's true. You're in the right place at the right time. You're not here by coincidence, per chance. No, if you really believe the Word of God, you believe that your steps are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you've believed on Him. And I praise God, I am excited. Are you excited? I remember a minister friend years ago told me, and it's always stuck with me. He said, you know, Roger, he said, the Word manifests itself and works in people's lives when they get excited about it. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I was just reading in the book of Acts here a few days ago when Paul went to Rome, stood before King Agrippa, and he said, I think myself happy. You know, I mean, these people wanted to kill him. He was in prison. Festus, they wanted to hold him. But praise God, God was with him, for him, had ordained him. And yet, in all the circumstances he went through, he said, I think myself happy. Are you happy? The Bible says, happy is he that trusts in the Lord. Oh, praise God, happy is he whose God is the Lord. Oh, glory to God, we're in a good place tonight. Amen. We welcome all of our family, our friends, all of you who are watching live, and those of you who will watch us at a later date. Glory to God. You're in the right place at the right time, even if you watch us at a later date. Glory to God. So I just encourage you to relax, to be at ease right now, just to rest. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. And open up your heart this evening and believe God with me. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that we have together. Thank you, Lord, that even though we may be absent in the flesh, we are present in the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you live on the inside of us. And we look to you tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving utterance, helping me say what I need to say. You know the hearts. You search the hearts. You know what is the mind of the Spirit. Thank you for giving me that which is needful and necessary at this moment. Oh, help me to speak it as I ought, to make manifest as I ought to make manifest. Oh, glory to God, that would honor you and honor heaven and honor our Father. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I pray on the other end, Lord, that eyes see, ears are open to hear what you would say. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think about that. You don't want to hear what I say. You want to hear what he says to you. What's being said to you by his Spirit. What he witnesses in you through his words. Amen. Glory to God. You ready tonight? Amen. Get your Bibles. Let's go to the book of James. We're in our series called Establish Your Heart. And we're looking at this. I'm excited about this. Glory to God. Listen, we're just getting started. But I want us to read here in James chapter 5, verse 7. He said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient. Or we'd say it like this, you be patient also. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That word was quickened in me weeks ago, this scripture. Establish your hearts, especially in the day that we live. It doesn't matter when anybody lives, back in the early church, people's hearts were to be established. But how much more, knowing that he's coming soon? He draweth nigh, glory to God. So, glory to God. I don't know if I'm messing that up there, but we'll get it fixed. I may be rubbing against me there. But he's coming soon, and he wants us to establish our hearts. Amen? Glory to God. So we've been looking at this. You know, we also looked at the scripture over in Peter where it says, Peter wrote to the church and he said, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, by these scriptures, by His words, glory to God, we can partake of something that is divine, His divine nature, and escape the junk, the corruption that's in this world. Oh, glory to God. John wrote, you know, we looked at this. John wrote to the church, and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear and to know that my children are walking in the truth. Well, His word is truth. Oh, hallelujah. So we've been looking at the word of God, especially what I call vital scriptures. I mean, all the word of God is important. I mean, every word of God is not void of power. No, His words are alive. The word of God is quick and alive. It's sharp. It's powerful. Amen. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so we know that every word in this Bible is filled with life. It's filled with God's DNA. But the Lord quickened some things to me, as I've mentioned back in previous services, how that there are certain scriptures that when I went through the word of God over the years that had just stood out to me, what I call keynote scriptures, powerful scriptures that I look to and have looked to and continue to look to. And so we're looking at these scriptures. We went back through some of the Old Testament scriptures, and now we're in the New Testament. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. I thought we finished up with Matthew, but we had a couple of scriptures that we didn't get through last week. So I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 16. And let's look at this. Matthew chapter 16. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is the situation where Jesus asked Peter in the 16th chapter, in the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, I just want to stop right here. This is not the scripture we're going to look at, but this is very important because it applies to us today. It's important who you say Jesus is. I mean, when you've got a situation going on in your life, it is so vital and so important what you say about Jesus and about that situation. What he's done for you, what He's accomplished, what He has provided for that particular situation in your life. Very important. Praise God. Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice something was revealed to him, talking to Peter. Something was revealed in his heart from heaven, from the Father. Verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, what is revealed to you in your heart about Jesus? I'm not talking about mental assent. I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about revelation knowledge. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You receiving the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the difference maker. That's where the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That's where, when things come against you, there's something on the inside of you that's greater than that which is on the outside of you. That is so important. And you'll begin to rise up and say, it is written, as we talked about earlier in this book, the book of Matthew. You'll follow the Christ. You'll follow His example. You know, He had a revelation. Glory to God. He knew who His Father was. He knew who He was. He knew that He and His Father was one. He knew that the Father was in Him doing the works. And through that understanding and through that revelation, that being revealed even to Jesus, He walked in that. And it overcame that which was coming against His life, even the tempter that came to Him. Likewise, it's so important that you know and have your heart established who Jesus is and who and what He's done for you. Glory to God. Because the Bible says that He loved you and He gave Himself for you and He's delivered you from this present evil world. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now, look at verse 19. This is the verse we want to look at. Keynote verse. He says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, here's a couple of things we need to look at, and this is something that I want to minister to you tonight. Now, listen, I want to say this again. We cannot exhaust, we cannot minister everything about these scriptures in this service. I mean, you could do a series on this service, but this is something I feel impressed and inspired to minister to you tonight. Notice here in the 19th verse, it didn't say whatsoever that God would bind on earth. It said whatsoever that you would bind on earth, whatsoever that I would bind on earth. It didn't say whatsoever God would loose or God would bind. It said whatsoever here. Look here. Whatsoever that thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Other translations say whatever you will permit, whatever you will allow, will be allowed. Now, this is very important. This is very important because you have people that say things like, "Well, I just believe." And when they say that, oh, if it's according to the word and it's not contrary or violates the scriptures, that's good. But you have people that say things, "Well, I just believe that God in his own way, in his own good time, is going to heal me." I'm talking about people, for example, who need healing in their body. I just believe that God, in his own good way, in his own good time, is going to do it. Well, he's not. That violates this scripture. See, you're waiting on God to bind something or to do something that you're supposed to do. Now just hang with me. Don't get upset with me. This is something that Jesus said, okay? It's not something, this didn't come from me. This came from the Master. He told Peter, he said, "I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom." You remember over in the book of Revelation in the first chapter, Jesus said, "I am he that was dead, but I am alive now. And I have the keys to hell and death. I have the keys." You remember in Matthew chapter 28 when he appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. He said, "Behold, all power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me." Well, somebody says, "Well, see there, Jesus has got all the authority and the power, just whatever he wants to do." Then he turns around and delegates and gives that authority and power to us, the church. He says, "You go therefore." See, he's commissioned. We are commissioned and authorized. Paul said it like this: we are ambassadors. We are representatives of heaven. We're to represent the heavenly. Jesus said, "You go, and in my name." See, that carries the weight. Yes, it is his name. Yes, it is because of what he's done for us. But he's given us authority. Matter of fact, in the first chapter of Revelation, he also said that "I have made you kings and priests unto God." See, he's the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. But listen, you're to reign in life through and by one Jesus Christ. But we're to reign. We have authority. And we'll see this later on, even in other scriptures, as we go through the new covenant. But Jesus said, "Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loosed," praise God. You know, people will say things like this: "Well, if God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. And if he don't want me to have it, then I won't have it. Well, if it's God's will for me to have it, then it'll be. And if it's not his will, then it won't." And people just leave everything up to God. And they take no responsibility. That's not Bible. Now listen, if you're talking about worry, if you're talking about care and anxiety, yes, you can take all of that worry and that care and you can lay it and cast it over on Him. You can cast your burden and worry and anxiety over on the Lord, for He cares for you. Yes, you can put all of that over on Him. And you can let go and let God take care of the care and the worry. And He'll take care of that. But that does not mean that you don't lay hold of things and hold fast to things. The Bible says we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold. It didn't say we're to let go. See, you have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. There's things that we hold fast to. We lay hold on. We're going to see here, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to see that when we pray about things, we're to take it. The word take and the word receive is the same word. You have to take it. You have to take it. You have to take it by faith. You have to operate in faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. There's things that you're confronted with, that I'm confronted with, and we have to exercise the authority that's been given to us in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, in my name. I'm getting way ahead of myself because this is at the end of Mark that we're looking at. He said, in my name, you cast out devils. He didn't say, in my name, I'll cast out devils. He said, you cast out devils. You take authority. And what that means is you take authority. You exercise your authority in my name over the devil, over the enemy. In my name, you take authority over that thing. Whatever you bind, whatever you permit, whatever you like, it will be allowed in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Listen, think with me just a second. Hold, stay with me. Don't get mad at me. Hold fast with me. People say, well, if God wants it, it'll be that way. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's just, if it's God's will, in God's good way, and God's good time, it'll happen if it's going to happen. If it's not, well, let me ask you a question. Do you treat the new birth that way? In other words, what I mean by that is people don't have any part in being born again. If God wants them saved, they'll just be saved. If it's God's will for them to be born again and go to heaven, then, well, it's some it's His will to go to heaven, some it's God's will to go to hell. Well, no, you wouldn't think. If you've read your Bible, you would never think nor say that. See, we think according to the new birth. No. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that it's God's will that all men, not some men, that it's His will for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. How many men? All men. That means male and female. Well, listen to me. The new birth is part of salvation. When it says, and God wants all men to be saved, the word saved is the Greek word sozo, soteria. It includes the new birth, but it also includes healing, preservation, deliverance, soundness, wholeness, prosperity. It includes all of it. Just like over in James chapter 5, the prayer of faith will heal the sick or save the sick. It's the same Greek word, even in the area of healing. Well, going back to the new birth, we wouldn't sit here and say, well, if it's God's will for somebody to be saved, they'll be saved. You know, they don't have to believe. They don't have to receive. It's just if it's His will, it'll happen. No, we wouldn't treat the new birth that way. Well, likewise, you can't treat these other areas that way. You can't say, well, if God wants me to be healed, then I'll just be healed. If God wants me to prosper, then He'll just make it happen. No, there are certain things that you will have to not only pray about, because if that's the case, if it's just God's will, then there's no need for prayer. Well, the Bible talks about prayer and how prayer is vital and important. Hallelujah. Now, this will answer some questions for some. Because a lot of people just think, well, you know, if the Lord wants it to happen, it'll happen. Remember, we don't treat the new birth that way. I said, we don't treat the new birth that way. I'll show you about this later. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Let's go. We're right here. Let's go to the book of Mark. We're finishing up Matthew. Let's go to Mark. Let's get over in Mark. Let's go to the third chapter. I apologize for the noise. I think when I put this mic on and run my cord through here, I've got it sort of where it's pulling a little bit. Hallelujah. Mark chapter, let's go to 3. You ready for this? Hallelujah. You still believe in God with me, right? Amen. Hallelujah. This is another scripture that when I went through the Word of God that stood out to me. And I've always went back to this scripture. Now, this is a scripture that most people may not look at, like some other scriptures, but it's still very important. Mark chapter 3, we'll start here in verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now look at verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You say, Pastor Roger, why do you even bring this up? Because it's very important. Very, very, very important. This scripture is key, and there's revelation in the scripture in doing the will of God for your life and fulfilling the plan that God has for you. There's a purpose for this scripture. Why? Because people, good people, believers, Christian people, I'm not talking about just worldly people that's not saved. I'm talking about good people, people that are born again, even your family, can distract or deter you from doing and following God's will and God's plan for your life. I want to say that again. Even your family can distract or deter you from following the will of God in your life. Jesus loved his brethren. Jesus loved his mother. I think I made reference to this back in a few services back. He presented his mother to John on Calvary's Hill. And he said, behold your mother. Behold your son. He wanted her taken care of. He loved her. But at the same time, he knew he had to be about his father's business. Even at early age, he knew this. He was not disrespectful. There was no sin in his life. He did not violate, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. He did not violate that. He fulfilled all the law. But yet, it's very interesting that he makes a comment here about his mother and about his family. And he turned around and he said, my mother and my family is the ones who do the will of God. You know, these people came to hear and to give the word first place in their lives. Oh, glory to God. We love our family. We do love our family. But let me say something to you. There will be times. You remember Jesus said, you think I've come to bring peace on the earth. But he said, I've come to bring a sword. He said, a man's foe sometimes will be those of his own household. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law. Even not just in-laws, but children and parents. Now listen, God's not the author of confusion or division or strife. Okay? But there are times, for whatever reason, that people are not listening and following the Lord and following the Holy Spirit. And because they're not, they'll say and do things. They can be even influenced by the wrong spirit to try to deter you from what God has for you. My family loved me, but my family did not. I'm sorry. Let me make sure this thing's going on. That may help. Sorry, we're working on stuff here. Jesus, let me give you an example of this, okay? Do you remember over in Matthew 16? We looked at it earlier. We was reading where Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ." And you know, I read the scripture that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You remember that? You know, just right after that, Jesus commended Peter that flesh and blood had not revealed this, that he had received revelation from heaven and from God, the Father. And yet, Jesus took him aside and began to tell him some things that he must do. The will of God for his life, how he must suffer, that he would die, be crucified. You know what Peter told him? Not so. No. No, you know, you're not going to do that. You don't need to do that. You know, that's what some family members tell people. I remember in my own life, people were excited when I came back to the Lord because of where I was before I came back to the Lord. But once I come back to the Lord, when God started leading me a certain way, when I started going to a certain church that wasn't their church or part of them, or when I began to get around other people that was not in their camp, so to speak, I begin to hear things. Even family would say things. Well, who's my mama? And who's my brother? And who's my sister? And who's my daddy? And who's my kin? According to Jesus, it's whoever does the will of God. You know what he told Peter? He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. Because you're not savoring. You're not... looking at and esteeming the will of God and the plan of God right now for my life. You're just in it for yourself. It's what you think, not what God thinks." Now, did Jesus say that to him? Absolutely. Was Peter Satan? No. But let me ask you this. When Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," was Peter being influenced by the wrong thoughts and the wrong spirit? Absolutely. And likewise, this can happen in your life. And if you don't understand this, you allow people, even your family, especially those that are close to you, to influence you and could possibly distract you and keep you from what God has for you. That's been very important to me. Listen, we love people, guys. I want to get around here and say this. We love people. I love people. We never want to do things that would offend anyone. Not intentionally, but sometimes people do get offended by what you do or how you follow God's plan for your life. That's not the purpose of it, but people do because people are people. But you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision just like Jesus did. Jesus did all of this as a man. I want to say that again. Jesus did all of this as a man. He had to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. He grew in wisdom. God doesn't grow in wisdom. Yes, Jesus was God in the flesh, but Jesus was a man, and he operated as a man. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. And he operated. And he had to deal with things like we deal with. He was tempted in all points like we are. We have such a wonderful Lord and High Priest who loves us. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly about these situations that we deal with, especially with people and people that are close to us. He even said a prophet is without honor except in his own country. He knew when he got around people, especially people that were close to him and family, that sometimes that can be difficult. He's not against division. He's not trying to divide. A house divided against itself cannot stand, but he understands the deal. That's why I said, "Listen, you think I've come to bring peace? If people really follow me and I'm truly their Lord and they follow the will of God that I have for them, there's a possibility that it may rub some people the wrong way. In other words, they may not agree with that. It could be your own family. It could be in your own household. Well, you have to make a decision. You remember the song we used to sing? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, you may have to sing that to yourself a few times. And especially, no turning back. You don't want to be like Lot's wife. No, glory to God. No, let's follow the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's enough on that scripture. You're right there. Let's go to chapter 4. Now, when we talk about chapter 4, it's a big deal. The whole chapter is a scripture to me because Jesus began to teach by the seaside in verse 1, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. He even entered into the ship and began to teach, and he spent that day teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And let's go, let me move over to the 26th verse. And like I said, I want to reiterate this. We can't cover everything. I can't expound on everything. You know, there's some things. You know, I leave services sometimes, and even after I leave a service, I'll talk with some people or even some of our church members after we're dismissed, and they'll come up to me, and we'll begin to talk about the things that was ministered in the service and some things that was brought forth. And even in our conversations, things will come up, and I'll continue to expound with them, or they'll say something, and even I'll say something, I go, wow, that is so good. I mean, I wish I would have said that also. You can't say everything, so we have to trust, and we have to believe that the Holy Spirit takes these things. He will continue to expound these things. And even in times in your life, as you go back and look at scriptures, you know, that's why we always say you can read a scripture 100 times, and when you read it the 101st time, 101, something jumped out to you. That's the beauty. That's the power of His Word. So much life, so much revelation in it. But let me start here in verse 26, and let me read this scripture. This is Jesus ministering here, and He said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, I'm not going to teach on this, but it goes back to the point I said earlier. Some people just depend on God to do everything. Notice here that it's the man who casts seed into the ground. Now, we know that God planted His Son into the earth. God did put a seed in the ground, His Son Jesus. But this also applies to us because Jesus talks about some things in the parable of the sower that refers to men. Notice here in the 29th verse, it says, and when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he, who's he? The one who sows. He's the one who puts in the sickle. See, a lot of people, see, you have to receive. Remember, you have to take, you have to harvest, you have to go and reap that. You know, a farmer will tell you that harvest times is some of the hardest work that there is. And when I'm talking about work, I'm not talking about we work for our salvation or for our righteousness. But if you think you're just going to float through life and not establish your heart and take the time to separate yourself, glory to God, and establish things in your heart and put the Word of God in your heart, you know, if people won't do that and then people won't go and receive the things that God has brought forth in their lives by faith, all I can say is that has to be revealed. That's something that has to be revealed to their heart. Because this is how the kingdom of God operates. A man casts seed into the ground. Everything starts with a seed. You showed up in this life on this earth because it started with seed. Everything starts with seed. The kingdom of God, while the earth remains, last time I checked, we're still on earth. Everything is seed time and harvest. And it's not just in the natural realm. Matter of fact, Holy Ghost is bringing this up in me. Are you with me? Are you believing God with me? Are you believing God with me? You ready? Let me show you a scripture. We'll come back to this. Hold your place right here. Holy Ghost, quicken scripture to me. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is the story where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He asked him some questions. Jesus told him, he said, in verse 3, he said, verily, verily. You know, when Jesus starts putting verily, verily to some things, you know, this is pretty important stuff. And there's a possibility that people may not see the truth in this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he talks about, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Because Nicodemus said, what are you talking about? You mean I have to enter into my mother's womb a second time? You know, that's crazy. No, he said, no, you're talking about something that's flesh, but I'm talking about spirit. He said, marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest and the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Notice that Jesus began to use something that we could relate to down here in the earth to try to explain something spiritual to him. Now, we can't see wind, but wind is something we are familiar with down here in the earth. Now, notice this. Notice here in verse 12. I want to move fast forward because time's getting away from us. He said, verse 12, he said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Oh, glory to God. Let's stop right here for a second. Because this really relates to the kingdom. Because he's talking about, and lest a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And there's more to that than just being born again and going to heaven. It does include that. But unless you're born into this kingdom, so you have to be delivered out from under darkness, the authority and power of darkness, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And you have to be translated over into the kingdom of God's dear Son to even operate. You know, if you're going to be in the family and receive the inheritance and partake of the blessings of the family, you have to be in the family. Okay? It's not, yes, we get to go to heaven when we die. I'm talking about when we quit breathing, this earth suit is done. But the whole kingdom operates as if a man cast seed in the ground. Jesus over here in Mark chapter 4 was trying to use some natural illustrations to teach spiritual things. But notice here, he said this. He said, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? You know, God uses natural things. Jesus did this in his ministry. He used natural things to try to bring forth spiritual truths to people, parallels, to help people see things. Think about this. Once you see some things in that measure, he can show you some other things, and he don't have to use earthly things. Come on now. Come on. Yes, Brother Roger. Let me tell you something. Do you believe there's more? Do you believe there's some more? Listen, thank God. And I'm not belittling the things that he used and taught using earthly examples. You remember when he showed up? You remember we looked at this back when we studied Matthew chapter 7, keynote scriptures. He said, if you being earthly, being evil means carnal, earthly, natural parents, desire to give good things to your children, how much more? Then he used an example. He said, if your children ask for some bread, will you give them a rock to eat? Remember, I used the example of my friend's son who his dog ate a good-sized rock. Well, he couldn't digest that rock. They had to operate on that dog. Costs money. He did it twice. He's a better man than I am, praise the Lord. My point is, listen, we love our animals and pets. I have one. I love her dearly. So don't write me or text me or send in messages that I'm an animal hater. I love animals. I got one. But how much more? You know, Jesus talked about a sparrow and a bird. That's part of the animal kingdom. Did Jesus say out of his own mouth, he said, are you better than them? We love them, but the truth is you're in a different class. In his heart, you're better. You're more important. Jesus used the illustration that you could relate to. Jesus said, if I tell you some things earthly and try to give you some parallels to show you the heart of God and the nature of God, if you can't understand that, then how can I take you further? How can I get you over into some areas that I don't have to use natural things? Spirit to spirit, revelation comes forth. But he took the time to bring forth things and said, listen, if you're a parent and you love your kids and you're a good parent, and you want good for them, it's not even equal. How much more does God want good for you? You know, that eliminates this thing about, well, if it's God's will for me to have it. Well, if it's the will of the Lord. Look at, can I get a little closer here? I want to shock you just a little bit. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Timothy that God gives us a few things. No, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. You know, tradition and religion will say things and teach people, and that religious spirit will say, well, you know, God will just give you what you need. He's never promised you what you want. That's not true. Let me just go back to that verse again. God gives us all things, plural, richly to enjoy. Let me say it to you like this. God will give you things. God will give you things just because you enjoy them. Not because you need them, but because you enjoy them. And Jesus was talking about a natural parallel. I do things for my children and have done things for my children, not just because they need those things, yes, but I've done things for my children and given them things because I know they will enjoy them. And if you are earthly and natural, God's even on a greater plane in that concerning you. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that we come up and we begin to entertain in our hearts and our thoughts the love of God. It'll end the struggling. Well, what if I don't know? Maybe the Lord hasn't heard my prayer. Maybe God is just, he's withholding from me. Maybe I don't know. I just don't know. No, let's establish our hearts. This is what this is all about. Let's get the Word of God in us. These exceeding great and precious promises that we can partake of some things. There's so much more to this. There's even so much more in John chapter 3 that I know in my own heart. There's a witness in me. I'm doing the very best in my ability to trust God for utterance right now to say what is needful to be said, because the purpose of this is that the light of God's Word would enter into our hearts, bring light and revelation and understanding that would transform us, would affect us, bring such faith to our hearts, faith that receives and believes and understands Him and knows Him. Oh, glory to God. The kingdom of God is if a man will cast seed in the ground. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he said, the sower sows the word. And he talked about the ground is referring to man's heart. Oh, glory to God. Let's go back to Mark. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower. We're not got time to read all this. But in verse 14, he said, the sower sows the word. And if you back up, he shared how the sower sowed the word. And he went out to sow. Some of the seed fell by wayside. Some of it fell on stony ground. Some of it was sown among thorns. And then some of it was sown in good ground. he's referring to the four types of grounds, which is really the four types, what I call, of a man's heart. A man's heart. That's why, listen to me, that's why we've got in this series about establishing our heart. You remember Proverbs, when we started out in Proverbs, well, we started out in Psalms, and we got into Proverbs chapter 4, it says you're to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces, the issues of life, out of your heart. Jesus talked about out of the heart proceed certain things, good and evil. He talked about the good treasure of his heart, the evil treasure. We'll get into some of that as we get into these scriptures. But see, it's out of the heart. Out of the heart, he's talking about. Glory to God. And he talked about sowing the word of God. Now listen. And he went ahead and taught us the very things that will come to try to steal the word or take the word away from us, from that word being established in our heart, from us sowing that seed into the ground. You know, farmers know this. Farmers understand some of these things. How much more should we? I'm talking about apply this from the spiritual side. Hallelujah. I want to get over into the teaching on the different kinds of grounds, but I can't do that because we'll be here forever. But there are four types of ground. And notice, the kingdom of God operates as if a man would cast seed in the ground. Now let me say this to you about the word, because this is so important. And I did a teaching about this over a year or so ago. We got into this about sowing the word and about the seed. Seed is so important. Do you remember in the garden when the devil came in and disrupted everything and Adam committed high treason? You know one of the first things that God told that serpent, told Satan? You know what he said? He said the seed. The seed. He referred to seed. The seed of the woman is coming. And he's going to bruise your head. His foot, his heel is going to bruise your head. His head, your head's going to bruise his heel. He referred to seed. Well, we know that was Jesus. But let me say something to you. God and his word are one. Jesus is the living word, but the written word is one and declares the written word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. He said, search the scriptures. Now, he was talking to religious people. He said, they're the things that talk about me, but you won't come to me and receive of me. That was a different, he was dealing with a different issue there. My point is, listen, he and the word, he is the seed. We're born again, Peter wrote about, of incorruptible seed. The word of God, he called it. He called it the word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word was made flesh, but still the word of God is an incorruptible seed. God told, proclaimed at the very beginning the thing that will bruise the devil's head. It's the seed. The sower sows the seed. The sower sows the word. You get this word in your heart, and the devil is after that word. He's after that seed. Why? It's the very thing that bruises his head. It's the very thing that rules over him. Jesus said in the wilderness, it is written. It's the very thing that took care of that situation when the devil came to him. Likewise. And yet we know that the wayside ground is the ground where people don't even esteem the word. One gospel translation of it says, reference says, they just trample it under feet. They trodden it under their feet. They trodden over it. Well, when you trodden on something or step on something, it doesn't matter to you. It's not important to you. You know, I can walk outside. I may step on a cup or a piece of paper. I may step on it and turn around and pick it up, but I may step on it. But if I step on it, I see it and I step on it, it's because it really doesn't matter to me. But if there was something laying there like my watch or something else, I wouldn't just go step on it. That's the very first thing that the devil tries to do, is just to get people just, it doesn't matter. The Word of God doesn't matter. Hearing the Word of God doesn't matter. Reading the Bible doesn't matter. All these kinds of things doesn't matter. And then secondly, if you take a step further in this thing, he'll use circumstances and situations. I'm talking about the enemy to try to get you offended. If you don't establish your heart in this thing and go further, I promise you, he will bring something up, a situation, somebody, something he's going to try to use to get you offended at God, at the Word, at people. Can't go there. Then there's things of this life, the cares of this world, just the desire of things. He'll use things and just to lure you, to entice you, to draw you to those things. No, God gives us all things richly to enjoy, but things are never to take the place of Him. But Jesus knew that things would. Just like Jesus knew that a man's heart is where his treasure is. And he said, there's only two. There's either mammon or God, so you're going to have to make a decision. Money's not evil. But you're either going to love God or love money or love this world. John wrote about it. He said, if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, glory to God. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me say something to you. Why is this so important? Why is it so important that we put the seed of God's Word into our hearts? Let me say it to you like this. You know, for example, I'm going to bring this back up to you because the Holy Ghost quickened it to me. John 3:12, Jesus said, if I told you earthly things and you don't believe them and you don't understand and receive it, how can I can show you other things? What he's talking about is he said, I used earthly things to try to teach you something. Let's go back to even this parable of the sower. Let's take a farmer. Let's take a Christian farmer. You know, for example, I want to mention something to him. Now listen to what I'm saying. Let's say he begins to pray about this upcoming season and he begins to pray and acknowledge God. That's good. The Bible says in all our ways we're to acknowledge Him. The Bible has much to say about prayer. And prayer is important. But listen to me. Prayer does not take the place of the Word. I want to say that again. Prayer is vital. Prayer is important. We'll teach on prayer at another time. And it doesn't violate or contradict anything that we're saying. But a farmer can pray. I'm talking about a believer. He can pray about his harvest. Lord, I'm just believing you for a harvest. Lord, I'm just believing you. Glory to God. I'm believing you for harvest. I'm believing you, Lord. I'm believing you for harvest. I'm believing that we're going to have a good harvest. But if he doesn't go and sow seed, if he does not put that seed in the ground and take care of that seed, take care of that field, guard that field, and then go reap or receive that harvest, he can pray all he wants to. Prayer alone, listen, prayer is important, but prayer alone does not take the place of the Word of God. Jesus said the whole kingdom is going to operate when a man will cast seed in the ground. Now listen, you may not understand everything in your mind about this. You don't have to. Your heart, the Spirit of God can bear witness with your heart that these things are true. Just when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, 1984, I knew, I was leery of it. Matter of fact, before that, I wanted to stay away from people like that. I thought people were crazy, you know. I'd heard so many things that were not scriptural. First place, I didn't really know Jesus. I heard about Him, but I didn't know Him. But when I came over and began to hear about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, that I can pray in another language, I can speak with new tongues as part of this great commission, that I can. I'm a believer, not just the apostles, but I can. Listen, I didn't understand everything about it. And there's a lot of things to this day that I don't understand it per se. I don't have to understand it, but I believe it. I believe it. I don't understand. I mean, we know it's the power of God. I don't understand how an axe head can float in water. I mean, yeah, people say, well, I do, it's the power of God. Okay, yeah, but let's go deeper than that. Listen, we know, just like seed. I don't understand. I mean, we know that you have to plant the seed, and you have to water it, and you have to keep the weeds out and all that, and it'll come forth. But I don't understand in my mind how what's in that seed can cause it to be what it is. We know it came from God, but here's the deal. I believe that. It witnesses in my heart, and I go in my heart. I get out of my head. I'll say this again. People, a lot of times, they're trying to understand God with their mind. You understand God with your heart. That's why you put the word in your heart. It's designed for your heart. And you guard your heart. And if you'll put it in your heart, you can go to bed tonight. You can get up in the morning, and that word's doing something. Just like that seed's doing something in that ground. When a farmer plants that seed, he can go to bed. There's something going on down in that earth. It's God ordained. It's God designed. The word of God is designed for your heart. The word of God is designed. If you'll put that word in you, it will grow up and become what that word is. Now, there are certain things, like I said earlier, and Jesus taught us, there's things that's vine that wants that word, wants to take that word from you. We know who's behind that. It's the adversary. It's the devil. And he'll use all kinds of situations. Even things that are not necessarily bad or evil, just like the desire of other things entering into our life that will choke the word. It didn't say evil things. It can just be things. But we have to understand, my brother and sister, what's vital. When I went through these scriptures, and over the years I've been looking at these scriptures. Now listen, he's expounding these things in my heart even more. I'm believing him for more insight and light and revelation and understanding than ever before. But these things are so important because this is how the kingdom operates. Jesus used natural things to teach us spiritual truths. But he also said this. He said, if you won't receive this and see the parallel and understand this, he said, I can't even take you further. There's things I can talk to you and show you and reveal to you. I don't even have to use something natural. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Can we do one more? We're not going to get through with Mark. Mark's going to have part two. Because we ain't got to chapter 11 yet. The one that Brother Hagin wrote? No, I'm sorry. No, Brother Hagin didn't write Mark 11, 23 and 24. Jesus is the one who uttered those words. We're going to get to that. It's powerful. But let's go to the ninth chapter. We'll finish with this. Mark chapter 9, important scripture. I've taken a little extra time tonight on some of the first parts of these things, but I think it's important. I felt the unction to. Mark chapter 9, you ready? This is the story of the father who brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't get him free. They couldn't minister to him. They tried to minister to him, but they got no result. And they brought him to Jesus. Verse 21, he asked his father, he said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, this has been happening since he was a child. And oftentimes it tries to cast him into the fire and, I mean, just want to destroy him, kill him. Now look at this. In verse 22, the man looked at Jesus and said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now here's verse 23. You know, a lot of people are still there in their mind. They listen. And I'm not putting people down, because we've all probably at one time or another, or most of us have at some time or the other, been in a situation like, Lord, if you can do anything, oh God, please help me. Do something. If you can do it, God, if you can help us, help us. Listen, that is not a put down. That's just the human side of life with people at times when we deal with situations. And God does not condemn us. He wants us to understand. Jesus did not condemn this man, but Jesus answered this man. And he said this to him. He said in verse 23, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Now, I'm going to say it like this. I've heard other people minister this, and really, I think it's both applicable. Let's move the comma from believe and back it up one word and put it right after canst. Or can. That's what we'd say can. We don't say canst today. We'd say, he would say, Lord, if you can. Or Jesus said, but Jesus said to the man, if you can believe. King James says canst. Let's back this up. Jesus said to them, if thou canst, or in other words, if I can, believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Either way, both would be true. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. We could say it like this. Jesus could have said to him, if I can, believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Let me say something to you. Jesus, this was not a rebuke. This was an exhortation. This was something that Jesus was encouraging this man, trying to help this man. Oh, is the Lord our helper? I said, is the Lord our helper? Do you know the Trinity are one? You know that the Holy Spirit's called the helper? He's not separate from Jesus or the Father. Even the psalmist talked about, we look unto the hills where comes our help. Looking unto the Lord. The Lord is our help. Well, praise God. We don't have to necessarily look to the hills like they do in the Old Covenant. I'm not saying we can't look upward, but see, God's in you now. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Spirit of God's in you. Get the Word of God in you. The Spirit will bear witness with this. But I want to say this to you. Never turn loose of this scripture. The devil, you remember we talked about the seed and how the enemy tries to come and steal the Word? He tries to take it any way he can get it. Never allow the enemy to take this seed from you, this particular seed. All things are possible. When a person is in faith and believes God and looks to God in faith, all things are possible. You know, the angel, when he came to Mary at the beginning, at the birth of our Lord, you know, she said, how can this be? I mean, I don't know a man. He said, the Holy Ghost. Next three words, the Holy Ghost. It's always the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And she said, be it unto me according to that which is spoken. See, and also in that portion of scripture there, it talks about with man, things are impossible. But with God. With God, nothing is impossible. And nothing is impossible to a person who believes in him. That's why it's so important to teach faith. That's why it's so important to preach the Word. That's why it's so important to establish your heart, because faith comes to your heart through and by the Word of God. That's why the devil, listen to me, that's why the devil's after the Word in people's life. Why? Because faith comes by hearing that Word. And through faith and through believing, anything's possible in a person's life. No wonder the devil wants that word. No wonder he comes to steal and uses situations and circumstances and tries to get people offended and then gets them distracted and gets over here in life and just got their mind and stuff on other stuff. And they're more concerned about the things of the world and the things they need than the Word. And the reason that is because the devil knows that anything and all things are possible to a man who establishes his heart and has faith in his heart and believes. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. But how can a man believe unless he hears? We've talked about this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How can you call upon the Lord? How can something come from your heart unless you believe? But you can't even believe unless you're hearing something. Unless the Word of God is coming to your heart. You're listening and feeding on the Word of God. See, the devil knows that too. So I want to leave you with this tonight. Never turn loose of this scripture. Listen, we all deal with situations. The Bible says the same afflictions are accomplished in our brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter chapter 5. But listen, we're to resist that rascal. We're to resist our adversary being steadfast in faith. We're to resist him in faith. But see, faith comes by hearing. So let's get the word of God. Let's establish our heart. Jesus went ahead and answered the question. I'll finish this up. They came to him and said, "Lord, why couldn't we deal with this situation?" He said, "Because of your unbelief." He said, "But here's the answer." He said, "This kind," he's not talking about this kind of demon, this kind of spirit. He was talking about this kind of unbelief. He said, "This kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting." In other words, what he was talking about is you're going to have to, praying and fasting means you're going to have to separate yourself. In other words, you can't let the things in the parable of the sower that he told us that the enemy would try to do, you can't let that be going on in your life. You can't get offended. You got to keep getting established in the word. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. You put the word in your heart. You establish your heart in the word of God. You attend to his word. You incline your ear unto his sayings. Why? Because they are life and their health and their medicine. Listen, that's why it's so important to put the word of God in you. Thank God for the manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes I'm talking about like the gifts of healings, working of miracles. Thank God for that. And when the Spirit ministers in that area, it helps people and people get healed. But not everybody's going to get healed that way. But everyone can get healed through and by the Word of God. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from the things that are distracting us, that want to choke the word, that want to steal that word, to have no root in our hearts, in the ground. And when the sun and the things come up, it just withers. No, but we need to have roots. We need to be planted. We need to have deep roots of the word of God in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul. And then, when we come up against a situation, unbelief will not overtake us. The man cried out to Jesus. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Jesus didn't look at him and say, "No, can't have both. Sorry, dude. You're deceived." No. You can start out in faith. You can even start out in a situation believing. I didn't say this earlier. We didn't finish up in Matthew where it talks about whatever things you bind on earth, because chapter 18 says the same thing. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. Then he went on and talked about how two of you can agree. As touching anything, it'll be done. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. He's there to carry that out. He's there, you know, in agreement with you too. You can start out in agreement. This man believed in Jesus. It was not that he not believe in Jesus, but there was unbelief there. And when you have unbelief show up, it contaminates the faith. You can start out in agreement. And I'm talking about with you and somebody else. You can start out in faith, but there's things that can come to get you out of agreement. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? We covered that in our old covenant scriptures we covered. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "I beseech you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, that you be of the same mind and of the same judgment." In other words, when there's division, when something's divided, then somebody quits saying the same thing and somebody starts thinking something different. Not only do they think something different, they begin to talk that. See, there's two components of faith, and we'll get into this: heart and mouth. You can start out, but unbelief can come against you. Things around you can bring that unbelief and doubt and fear to your heart. You have to have your heart established. That's why it's so important to get into these exceeding great and precious promises. And we get our heart, we sow this in our heart. And oh, by the way, you don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to lean to your understanding. You can trust with all your heart in His Word and what His Word is. It's a seed. It's an incorruptible seed. It lives and abides forever. It will grow up and become greater than any situation you're dealing with. It'll bring such faith to your heart that it will overcome. It becomes greater. The kingdom of God, He said it in chapter 4, it becomes greater. It will become greater than the unbelief. Because it is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Yeah, there's unbelief in this world. Demonic spirits. Antichrist spirits. But it's not greater than the Holy Spirit. And it's not greater than the words of Jesus, which are spirit. And you put these things in you, and it will grow up and become greater. You don't have to try to lean to your own understanding. You don't have to figure it out or reason it out. You can believe it in your heart. It'll affect your heart. And it'll be effortless. After you plant it, just like when you sow the seed in the ground and you water it, just keep all the stuff away from it that tries to distract it and overtake it. And it'll grow up, and it'll be a blade, and it'll be an ear, and it'll be the full corn in the ear. And you just sit there and receive the bounty and the goodness and the blessing of the Lord in your life. Can you say amen? Never turn loose. Never turn loose. All things are possible to anyone who believes. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you. I don't know who's watching. I don't know who will watch this. But I mentioned this earlier. Peter wrote and said that we are born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus told a man named Nicodemus, he said, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You sure can't see heaven one day, but you can't even operate in this kingdom unless you're born again. I got an invitation for you, and it's free. It's not according to your works. It's not according to your righteousness or right doing. It's according to faith. Will you believe on Him? Will you believe on the one who loves you and gave Himself for you? Will you receive Him right now? That's all it takes, is to receive the living Word into your heart. His name is Jesus. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. You are the Word of God made flesh. And you died for me. I believe that. You died on the cross, the Bible says. And you shed your blood to redeem me. I receive that. I receive the gift of righteousness. I receive you as the gift from heaven to me. Thank you for coming into my life, making me new, saving me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I always say this. Please tell somebody. Let somebody know. Tell somebody what happened to you. Get the Word of God in your heart. Get in a good church. Go get you a Bible. Go start out in the New Covenant. I mean, I love the book of Psalms and things, but get in the New Covenant. Get over there and find out what Jesus, not only who He is, first and foremost, but what He's done for you and how much He cares for you and loves you. You'll see it. All you have to do is say, Lord, show me, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you. Praise God. Looking forward to this Sunday. The Feth Kenners will be with us in our Sunday morning service at 11 a.m. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you back Sunday, 11 o'clock. God bless you.